Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Gun Radha Gunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Pradeep Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamana Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai All glories to be assembled devotees. All glories to be assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Is the microphone too loud? It's okay. It's a little loud that we need. It's not feeding back? A little bit feeding back.
There's no feedback.
No, there is feedback. Where I sit, I'm here. Just a little bit of feedback is there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Okay, if you think it's good. Two things before we go on to the verse. One is I'd like to welcome my godbrother, Ajitas, from Laguna Beach in America. And if you'd like to learn something about vanaprastha life in practical terms, talk to him. Last week's class in action. Classes. Second thing is, for those who are internet fans, there's a new internet website, bbtonly.com, of special interest for those who distribute books, Srila Prabhupada's books. bbtonly.com. Okay, now on to hell. We have three verses here, and this is the third. Oh yes, thank you very much. Cell phone check. All cell phones, silent mode. If your cell phone rings, you go to hell. Shuchit paritorka davana lanilai santapyamana patitapta valike Prichtraina prishte kashaya chataritash Shalatya shaktopi nirashramo dake. Under the scorching sun, the criminal has to pass through roads of hot sand with forest fires on both sides. He is whipped on the back by the constables because of his inability to walk, and he is afflicted by hunger and thirst. But unfortunately, there's no drinking water, no shelter, and no place for rest on the road. Tatra tatra patan shanto murchita punaruttitaha pata papiyasa nitas tadasa yamasaranam. While passing on that road to the abode of Yamaraj, he falls down in fatigue, and sometimes he becomes unconscious. But he is forced to rise again. In this way, he is very quickly brought to the presence of Yamaraj.
Yojananam
Sahasrani Navatim Nava Chadvanaha Tripir Uhurtair Dwabhyam Va Nitaha Prapnoti Yatanaha Yojananam Sahasrani Navatim Navachadvanaha Hir muhur tair tva pyamva Nita prapno tiyatana Yojananam sahasrani Navatim navachadvanaha Hir muhur tair tva pyamva Nita prapno diyatana.
Yojananam sahasrani.
Thus he has to pass 99,000 yojanas within two or three moments, and then he is at once engaged in the torturous punishment he is destined to suffer. Purport. One yojana is calculated to be 8 miles, and he has to pass along a road which is therefore as much as 792,000 miles. Such a long distance is passed over within a few moments only. The subtle body is covered by the constables so that the living entity can pass such a long distance quickly and at the same time tolerate the suffering. This covering, although material, is of such fine elements that material scientists cannot discover what the coverings are made of. To pass 792,000 miles within a few moments seems wonderful to the modern space travelers. They have so far traveled at a speed of 18,000 miles per hour. But here we see that a criminal passes 792,000 miles within a few seconds only, although the process is not spiritual, but material. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manogistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Maityam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamcha, Shri Rupam Sagrashatam, Sahagana Gaganatam, Vitam Stam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Sadhutam, Virjana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Devam. Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Vadita Sri Vishakam Vidamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Nango Tripathe Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Golangi Radhe Vancha Pontavyascha Pripasimho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Paritorka Devana Nanalai Santapyamana Patitapta Valuke Krishtraina Prishte Kashaya Chataritash Chalatya Shaktopi Nirasramodike Tatra tatra patan shanto murch chita punar uttitaha kata papiyasa nitas tadasa yamasadam yojananam sahasrani navatim navachatpanaha tribhir muhurtair dvabhyam va nita prapnoti yatanaha. These descriptions of suffering are not imaginary, nor in one sense even extraordinary. Practically everything that's described here you can find within human history here on earth. The injurious wars, all of these things have been done. In London, there's a museum of torture, which I've always been reluctant to visit, lest what one sees there stick in the mind. But every kind of torture imaginable has been practiced in human history. I'm sure there's still more that can be imagined. People have been whipped and beaten and force-marched and knocked down and forced to get up again and deprived of food, deprived of water, given no rest. This is historical fact. Just within recent history, there's someone in Guantanamo Bay that America is holding as a terrorist who's been waterboarded 182 times. Waterboarding, the effects of it apparently are that you absolutely feel like you're drowning, even though you know that you're just being waterboarded, you're not going to drown. But physiologically, it's inescapable that you will feel exactly as if you're drowning. And this man's been put through it nearly 200 times. Drowned and drowned and drowned and drowned again and drowned again and drowned again and drowned again. So, if we read about such things happening on the road to the abode of Yamaraj, then it's not to be taken as simply imaginary. Kapildev elsewhere offers this evidence that I'm describing to you the hellish planets. On earth also, there are heavenly places and hellish places. So why should we think that only on earth these are there? We read descriptions of heavenly planets, but on earth there are heavenly places also. And on earth there are places that are like hell. So these descriptions are presented as factual. But the special feature of them is that these punishments are administered while the living being is situated only in his subtle body. We're tortured with the gross body. They put a thumb screw on you, or they tear your limbs apart, or whatever they're going to do to this gross body. But this criminal doesn't have a gross body. He's been ripped out of his gross body, and now he's traveling in his subtle body. And the subtle body is encased in special additional subtle covering for transit along this road. But the locus of suffering is the subtle body, is the mind. Although the punishment may be administered to the arm or the leg or what have you, it's experienced within the mind. When the dentist drills your tooth, it's not the tooth that feels pain. You feel pain within the mind. If your mind is elsewhere, you won't feel the pain. Therefore, people can undergo dentistry when in hypnotic trance and not need anesthesia. People can undergo surgery while in hypnotic trance and not need anesthesia, because the mind is simply directed elsewhere. And the operation is going on here, and the mind is going on there. So the place of pleasure and pain is the mind. The place of pleasure or pain is the mind. Even we have practical experience. You've all probably at some time or other gotten a paper cut. You're handling paper and it cuts your finger. And while you're busy sorting the papers, you don't notice it. And then when you're finished, ooh, I cut my finger. That means that you didn't feel the pain until your mind gave attention to it. Therefore, a person who's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is beyond the pleasure and pain of this material world. This is mind is fixed in Krishna. So this criminal is encased only in his subtle body, and the punishment therefore is not limited to what the gross body can take. It's not limited to what the gross body can take. If you knock me down, I'm down. And I may not be able to get up again. But this criminal gets knocked down and pulled up and knocked down and pulled up. And he's in his subtle body. So the whole thing, exactly how this is, where and how this is taking place is an interesting question. Because the whole thing is being imposed on his subtle body. It's all being inflicted on his subtle body. There's no gross body in the picture. Another feature is that it's described that he's traveling 99,000 yojanas, roughly 800,000 miles. Huge distance. And it's taking tribi muhurtai dvabhyamba, two or three muhurtas, two or three moments. Two or three moments to travel 800,000-900,000 miles. So he's going so quickly. What is that? Pantastukoti satavatsara sampagamyo vayoritapi manasomnipungama. The mind is so quick, you can travel from here to anywhere in just a moment. The speed of the subtle body is so rapid. You think of San Francisco and immediately your mind is there. But still, the distance to Goloka Vrindavan is so far that you can travel at that speed for millions of years and not reach the tip of the toe of Govinda. Or it's simply in another dimension. You can travel and travel and travel and travel, but Goloka Vrindavan is not within the realm where you can move with the mind. So go as fast as you want, as far as you want, from a dove down into the water, try to get to the base of the lotus that was the source of his birth, and to come back up again. Because you just can't get there by physical effort or by mental or intellectual endeavor or gymnastics. Goloka Vrindavan is in another realm entirely. So we're going at nearly 800,000 miles in a few moments. But another feature of time is that it has two aspects, clock time and felt time. Clock time is described elsewhere in the third canto, starting from atomic time and going all the way up to the time of the various planetary systems and beyond that. Time is objectively measured in terms of the movements of the clock. So you say 1 hour went by, clock time. Or 1 year went by, that means the sun traveled so much distance. Objective fact, it went in complete circle, so we say it was 1 year. The hour hand, the minute hand went in a complete circle, we say 1 hour. And that's clock time. Then there's another time, felt time, subjective time. What time feels like. You were having a festival and we're 80,000 devotees have gathered, and there's kirtan, and there's prasadam, and you're meeting all the people that you haven't seen in years and years and years, and there's feasting, and there's more kirtan, and there's so much going on, and before you know it, the day is gone. Just like that. Because it's so much fun. Or, on the other hand, you're waiting for a bus. And you look at your watch and it's 8:05 and you wait and you wait, you look at your watch and it's 8:06 That's felt time. Krishna was dancing with the gopis and he expanded the time to be like the night time of Brahma, 8,400,000 times 2 times 12 times 30 times 100, no, not times 30 years. Something like that. No, not times 30, skip 30, just one night. Anyway, long enough. And it just felt like one night. So quick. And on the other hand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is crying, Yugaitam Nimeshena. Chakshusha Prabhushayatam. Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahi. Feeling separation from Govinda, one moment feels like one yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living at Puri. And during the daytime, different things were going on with the devotees. There were festivals being celebrated, and there were different exchanges among the devotees, and then there'd be kirtan. But at night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would return to his room, Gambhira, and he wouldn't sleep. Because he'd be thinking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, and feeling separation from Krishna. So in that feeling of separation, one moment would feel like thousands of years. And the night is so long. So he was experiencing time that way. How can I go on living in the absence of Krishna? Of course, that feeling is ecstatic feeling. That separation feeling is equal to the feeling of happiness from having Krishna's association. They're on the absolute platform. So there's so that the experience itself is transcendent. Although to our vision it seems that this is pain. Separation is pain and meeting is pleasure. But on the absolute platform, the separation is even more relishable than meeting. Therefore, the Goswamis taught the path of serving Krishna in separation. They, two things. One is, it's more relishable. And the other thing is that it's not so cheap. Anyone can cheaply say, yes, I saw Krishna. Yes, I'm always experiencing Krishna. Krishna tapped me on the shoulder and said to me. We know of people who fake it that way. But the Goswamis take the humble position. How can I see Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If I had any love for Krishna, I would have died years ago. An ant like me, how can he maintain his existence? A person like me who's separated from Krishna, how can I, if I had any love for Krishna, how could I go on living? But taking the humble position, not proud, yes, I have pure love for Krishna and a great devotee. So, here, this person is not in any place near transcendental ecstasy. He's gone in the opposite direction. Vimukha chaitasa. He's turned away from Krishna. Indriyartha, for the sake of sense gratification. Maya sukhaya. Gratification which is illusory, where there is no gratification. The gratification is a figment of the imagination. The enjoyment is not actually enjoyable. It's just cooked up to be enjoyment in the mind. And even if we think, no, it's enjoyment, it's finished just like that. And then there's this, that for that enjoyment, you thought, I'll beg, borrow, steal, doesn't matter, everything's for the senses, all's fair in love and war. And now the consequences. For the sinful activities that one performed, causing pain to other living beings, out of envy, out of exploitive mentality, with the idea that I'm the what matters most is what I can enjoy. Now this punishment. This is all illegal. You're not the enjoyer. You were never the enjoyer. You were never entitled to enjoy. And you tried to exploit the resources of material nature, diverting them from Krishna's purpose for your own schemes and plans. Now suffer. occurs there. Adverse fruitive activities. The fruitive activities are meant for enjoyment. But just the opposite. The more I try to enjoy, the more I suffer. Even in this life, the more one tries to enjoy, the more one suffers. Those who are mad after sense gratification, they're the ones who, you know, they died at the age of 24 of a drug overdose and so on. But the same thing beyond this, this one life is not everything. This one life is a flash on the dream. And we can see before us that there's terrible suffering in this world. Someone's born diseased, someone's... someone's born diseased, someone's in some terrible accident, someone is tortured, someone is this, someone is that. So many horrible things happen to a person in this life. Even psychological torture, sometimes just living becomes so miserable that people want to end their lives, slit their wrists, or hang themselves. Because there's torture from the mind. So we see, and why is it happening? There's a background. Things don't just happen. Things happen in consequence of previous activities. Things don't just happen. Things happen as a result of something. The whole world runs on cause and effect. Everything has a reason. I may not know the reason, but there's a reason why something happened. A reason why I was born blind, a reason why I was captured by the enemy troops and tortured, a reason why whatever happened, happened. So we see that practically in our life on earth. So it's, but we can't see what happens from one life to the next. That's beyond our vision. What the transfer is like, what the journey is like from one lifetime to the next lifetime, we can only speculate about or imagine or dismiss. But here from Shastra we get the information. This is the process. Not for everyone, but for the sinful person. For the devotees, coming back to God. But for the sinful person, this sort of fame, why? Because of his past activities. He was warned. Don't do, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. No, let me do it. Thou shalt not kill. Why not? As if there's no consequence, I can just do things and there won't be an outcome. No one's watching. But there's always someone watching. The sun is watching, the moon is watching, the air is watching. The super soul himself is watching. Therefore, these outcomes of sinful activities take place. By cause and effect. So the Krishna consciousness movement is essential for any sober person. Dhirastha Thrimanuti, a sober person should. Everyone, the whole world is bewildered. The whole world is bewildered. But if one becomes sober, then he can understand that I have to travel from one life to the next. Whatever I do has consequences. his life will be finished. And where will I go? Some subjects for the thoughtful person to consider, for the person who's a fool. What is the need of thinking? But a thoughtful person has to consider all these questions. And for him, the Srimad Bhagavatam is there to give guidance. This is the situation. Kapila Deva is there to, as the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, to say this is the situation. And to give, not simply to give us a horror movie, to show a terrible picture of misery. But his real purpose is to explain the process of devotional service. Step by step, item by item, reason by reason, point by point, Lord Kapila Deva is giving up the science of pure devotional service. And the intelligent person should follow his direction and take it. In Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it easy, easy, easy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukta Sangha Param, Kirtana Deva Krishna. Mukta Sangha. Yes.
The Pandavas, they had to go to hell.
Pandavas, we heard, had to go to hell.
Yeah, so did they go the same process? Like,
it's not described that they went by the same process, no. In the Mahabharata, the description is there that they had to see hell, but it's not described that they were dragged along as described here. It was a, what can you say, like a token, just like a little peek or a show, practically. They didn't actually have to suffer the miseries of hell as well. Yes?
Does that mean that if the experiences
so
difficult,
that if the devotee won? If a devotee left and he committed some sinful activities and then he comes back, does he have to go through some process of what?
Of hellish existence.
Of hellish existence. Well, I think that anyone who's gone through that will tell you that it's hellish. The first thing is that the enjoyment is hellish. You know, they go out and drink and smoke and whatever, whatever. That itself is miserable. You're trying to enjoy it, and very difficult, because once you're a devotee, the jig's up. You know that there's no real happiness there. So you're worse off. The fool at least can persuade himself, like, yes, I'm enjoying it. The devotee knows better. So now he's trying to enjoy it, but it's very difficult, because he knows too much. And the material nature is constituted in such a way that he gets kicked. So he's already suffering. Then he has to come back. And then that's also further difficulty. I wasted so much time, I did this, I did that, maybe now it's blocking his progress. He's trying to chant, but he's remembering this or that. He's trying to recoup his spiritual position, but it's a struggle. If we break the principles, spiritual life becomes more of a struggle. So, finally, if he's sincere, sadhureva samantavya, then all right, Krishna considers that he was a sadhu. Some untoward thing happened. So still he can attain perfection. But Why should one, first of all, count on it, that I'm such a good devotee that Krishna is going to say, well, okay, let him off the hook. And second of all, why do I want to hold myself back that way and subject myself to that? Okay. Yes? There's a few questions here.
Would you mention in the beginning how this is actually, this is a fact, this is reality. So how do we know in the Bhagavatam if certain things are literal or...
How do we know in the Bhagavatam whether something is literal or figurative? Usually we're told. In the Bhagavatam itself, Narada Muni will say, I'm telling you the story, which is an allegory, and it's about some king who's something like you. So then we're cued in from the beginning that it's figurative, or we're told that it's literal. Or the commentators, the acharyas, will tell us that this is symbolic, this is a figure, this is an allegory, this is to give us an idea. The commentators or the spiritual master will guide us. Excuse me? Okay, I got me. Yes. Yes.
What is your understanding of that?
What does it mean that the Yamadutas cover the subtle body? The gross body is already left behind. The subtle body has been ripped out of the gross body. And now that's covered with another kind of subtle body. It's not a gross body that's mentioned here. But he's wrapped up in a subtle body by which he's able to go through these things or made to go through these things. So that's how it's described. Yes? How can we increase our absorption in our day-to-day sadhana? By day-to-day sadhana. That's the meaning of sadhana. By doing it, you get better at it. The more you do it, with attention and care, the more you make improvement. The mind may be whatever it is, but that sadhana, that whatever the mind may be, whatever the senses may be, I have my sadhana. I chant my rounds, I get up early in the morning, I chant Hare Krishna, I see the deities, I do hear Srimad Bhagavatam, I do service. And because I do those things, I become purified. That's how it works, that's what sadhana is. Yes? How are the pious transmigrating? I haven't seen a description of exactly how they go, but they don't go through this, that's for sure. The constables don't come. That's mentioned in the Ajamil chapters, that Yamaraj only sends his men for those who are criminals, those who perform sinful activities. So the pious men, they get some other method of transfer, presumably not so unpleasant, or definitely not so unpleasant. Yes?
Our some suffering is inflicted in a corrective mood, not the person. And some suffering is inflicted just because they don't like the person. So, in order for it to be corrective, the person has to know what they've done wrong and now they're suffering as a result. The living entity frequently doesn't know why he's suffering, what he's done wrong. So this is a little grim.
Yeah, it's an old argument that for suffering to be corrective, one should know why he's suffering. Otherwise, what's the point? It's just cruelty instead of correction. But we're told that on account of our past activities, we're suffering. I may not be told, you knocked down this little girl on the way to school when you were, 14 lifetimes ago. It may not be made so explicit. But I know that whatever I'm suffering now, it's because of my previous activities. That should be enough. ultimately, even without knowing the details, why am I suffering? Because I've turned away from Krishna. That's what is your, why me? What crime? What did I do? You turned away from Krishna. That's the ultimate summary.
Just to comment, Maharaj, it says also in the previous text that when the dog's biting, he remembers all the secrets.
That one who's. In the previous verse it's mentioned that this person who's suffering remembers his previous misdeeds. So that's there. Yes?
Does he
double loud? Double loud. Someone in the middle listening carefully so that you could relay that to me.
Sorry?
Someone who's sitting closer to me. Yes.
You're saying does a person who suffers, does he get the realization that life is eternal with God, or is he just simply just suffering?
Does the person who's suffering realize that life is eternal and there's God, or does...
Yes, at least he suggests punishment.
Does he realize that he's being punished? Well, it was just mentioned that this person here, at least at a certain point, gets the understanding that I'm suffering because of my past misdeeds. In human life, we experience that people, you know, why me? They're so ignorant, they're so covered by maya, but they don't know. They think that, well, you know, I'm a good guy. I was a nice person. I've been good. Why should this happen to me? Excuse me?
So, that time,
did he remember? At
that time? Does he remember?
At what time?
When he goes to
the Yamaraj. I already answered that it was mentioned that a couple of verses ago, that while he's on this road, he does remember. Does that answer your question?
Yes, so he had this hope to be a better next
hope?
Time.
Hope? I doubt that he has much time for philosophy. Okay. 792,000 miles in a few moments, and it feels like years and years, and you're being whipped and beaten and so on and so on. I don't know what sort of hope might enter his mind, but we would presume that he's simply suffering and suffering and suffering. Suffering. Then he's thrown before Yamaraj, and Yamaraj puts him somewhere. Ajit Prabhu.
When the devotee does all the services for most of his life, but has some Vaishnava brand, and when the death comes, what happens to death?
What happens at the time of death to a person who's committed Vaishnava brands? He's a devotee, but he's committed Vaishnava brands. Good question. Depending upon the severity of those offenses, finally it's in Krishna's hands. At least it's not up to Yamaraj. Yamaraj told his messengers, those people with tilak, keep away from them. Don't even go near them. I'll get in trouble. Don't go near them. So it's up to Krishna. But Krishna doesn't take very kindly to it either. You've offended my devotee. So that can have very serious consequences, that one might have gone back to Godhead except that. Or one would have reached such and such level, but he's held back. We read again and again that Vaishnava Brahmins are subversive to devotional service, corrosive to devotional service. That even other aparads can be more easily forgiven, save aparads. do something offensive in worshipping the deity. It's not very good, but it's not as bad as Vaishnava operates. Vaishnava operates are very... Therefore, again and again and again and again, we're told, don't commit Vaishnava. Prashant wants to know, is there any way to save ourselves from the outcome of sinful activities? Yes, chant Hare Krishna, become a devotee. Karmani nirdahati kintu chupati bhajam. All by chanting Hare Krishna once purely, one can get free from more sinful activities than he's able to commit. Does chanting nullify Vaishnava aparadha? No. And if you think that I'll commit Vaishnava aparadha, but I'll nullify them by chanting, then that becomes one of the non-aparadhas also. It's up to Krishna. Krishna can forgive what he wants. But it's not, we're never told that just chant Hare Krishna and all your Vaishnava aparadhas will be forgiven. We're not told that. Vaishnava aparadhas are very serious. We're chanting Hare Krishna. But if we commit Vaishnava aparadhas, will our chanting be effective? Vaishnava aparadhas can ruin your spiritual life. You should avoid committing offenses to devotees. It's very serious. Krishna says, Prabhupada comments that a man can stand having heat on his head, but having hot sand on his feet is unbearable. The sun is beating down, you can somehow make it, but if you've got hot sand under your feet. So if we commit offenses to the pure devotees who are at the lotus feet of the Lord finds it very difficult to tolerate. And there's so many examples in Shastra that we could pull out from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We should be very much afraid of committing Vaishnava offense. Anyone who's not afraid of offending Vaishnavas is a fool. Yes.
My Priti's confirmed that in Vrindavan, certain people were had changed the Mahamantra, they were chanting Hindai God or something.
Yeah.
Prabhupada said something about so many thousand lives every
day. I don't know what Prabhupada said, but anyway, don't chant that. Chant Hare Krishna and not Hindai God. Yes. Yes.
Jadeva Prabhupada said for 10,000 years.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is for 10,000 years out of 432,000 years of Kali Yuga.
What about after?
What about after? Don't you? You don't want to be around after. What mercy is there after? Kalki Avatar comes. No, that's mercy. He comes and kills the demons. There's no preaching. There'll be too dull, too sinful, too covered. There's no preaching then. The only preaching is killing.
I heard, I don't know myself, but somebody said this figure of 432,000 years is not stated in the Shastra.
Someone said that this figure of 432,000 years is not stated?
It's not stated anywhere.
You can, it's certainly stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. There's all the yugas are given, the times are given, even the times overlap. between the yogas was given. Whoever said that didn't know what he was talking about.
The
shloka is in the book, not the purport. Sanskrit, Devanagari, read it yourself, it's there. Your friend didn't know what he was talking about. Yes. If the Vaishnava forgives you, is that person released? Generally, we're told that yes. If the Vaishnava, first of all, that's what you do. You go to the Vaishnava and say, "And did you please forgive me?" And if the Vaishnava forgives you, you're presumed to be off the hook. Although there's some statement I saw someplace that even if Krishna forgives, that even if the devotee forgives you, Krishna may not forgive you. You've seen that too, right? Someplace where it says that even if the devotee forgives you, Krishna still remembers it. So let's not take chances. Well, there's a couple of questions here, and there's a couple of questions there, and there's experienced time, and there's clock time. Tell me what to do.
Experience
Excuse me? Another class tomorrow. Someone else will do it, I'm sure. You can do it. Rest assured. Ignore the clock. I'll take, I'll read this one question, then maybe take a couple brief more ones, but this starts to be stretching. That's not so good. Illicit sex is sinful according to Shastra. Now in ISKCON, some devotees say that illicit sex is only outside marriage. Inside marriage is okay. Isn't that bogus philosophy? Yes. Is not relevant to the class. There was another question. Yes.
Well, I mentioned that you can just, by thinking of San Francisco, you can be there in one moment.
I mentioned that by thinking of San Francisco, you can be there in a moment.
So what is hindering us from being in Goloka Vrindavan?
No, Goloka Vrindavan also, you can be there in a second. As soon as you think of Goloka Vrindavan, you're there. It's only a question of consciousness. Chant Hare Krishna, you're no longer in the material world. Your mind is with Krishna. They say, well, home is where the heart is, if your heart is with Krishna. Sagunam Samiti Chaitan Brahmi Guya. Chant Hare Krishna and be always on the spiritual path. The only problem comes when we stop. So don't stop. Kirtan Yasudhanari voice, chant Hare Krishna. All right. Thank you all very much. All the rest of you.
So next, Jagveda Swami Ki.
Jai. Prabhupada Ki. Jai.